It's I Saw a Magpie.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, this is I Saw a Magpie, a weekly chat show where Ari and Steven discuss pop culture and the discourse, and this week, we're wondering why we worship celebrities so much.
Hello, and welcome to I Saw a Magpie, a weekly chat show with me, Steven, and this week, I've just started working, so I am, like, exhausted physically, exhausted mentally, emotionally drained. Where am I working? In a fast food restaurant. What's emotionally draining me? Burgers. It's going great. How are you doing?
Well, I'm Ari, and this week I'm drained for no reason. I just don't have a job and I don't know what I want to do with my life. So there's that. This is basically my only anchor to anything real. So congratulations.
And I'm so glad we're out here doing something worthwhile.
Right, yeah.
But good to know that you're anchored to reality in some way. Like, trust me, see, after you've spent like 4 hours making burgers, you want to unanchor yourself from everything on this plane of existence.
Exactly.
And just float off into the ether. So what are we talking about this week? I think we're talking about like celebrity culture, idolization of celebrities, worshipping celebrities, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so I think we're going to do it in like three parts, and we're going to be a lot quicker than last week. You know, can we pause really quickly? We really should have had a conversation about... I'm dumb because like every week I come on this show and I'm like, I have so much to say before we start and I'm going to outline it like this. And then I don't say any of that shit to you. And I just like jump in. I wanted to...
It's fine. This is good content.
I actually
will take a break. We'll be right back. See you in a minute. Hello, we're back again. So, me and Ari, we're just having a quick chat about how we're actually going to structure this episode. Like I said, I've just finished work. We're getting on top of it. However, we want to stay straight at the top, off the bat. We understand that the world has a lot more stuff happening in it, a lot more important stuff. The Black Lives Matter movement is still happening in America. It's still happening here in the UK. The marches are still happening. That is all still happening in this world, and we still need to be putting the majority of our energy into that. But I Saw a Magpie is fun for us. It's an escape for me and Ari. We come on here, we chat absolute nonsense about stuff that really doesn't matter in the greater scheme of things. None of this shit matters. This is just me and Ari having fun, looking at pop culture for the ridiculousness that it is, and chatting about it for an hour and a half. And we hope it's entertaining, because this is fun for us. We have a good time doing this. Weirdly, I think we both enjoy audio editing, which is slightly masochistic, I think.
Yeah, like, honestly, at this point, like, I'm a nerd. I really do like audio editing these episodes. Like, it's weird, but I like it. And I like coming in here to discuss, you know, small scale racism, like, you know, ultimately things,
because there's no skin in the game.
Yeah, exactly. Just like, you know, even starting out from like week one, talking about like industry plants and whether it was like a like sexist statement or not, and then going on to girl bosses and like other things, like ultimately like those things play a role in society and stuff like that. But you know, just like, it's small potato stuff that, you know, I think you and I can both digest and handle pretty well and, like, have a lot of fun with. But, yeah, like, both of us are still out here, you know, sharing information, signing petitions, like, you know, emailing people, calling people, texting the proper numbers, gearing up to, you know, vote and, you know, getting the proper information and researching the people that we need to vote for when the time comes. So, yeah. Yeah. But we're just here to have
some
fun.
And this is just us being idiots and being fun. And we just wanted to make that 100% clear, because last week we talked about YouTube drama. We're going to talk about it a little bit again today. But don't let the YouTube drama and all the other crap that's happening, all these little dramatic things and platitudes and tea and all the rest of it. Yeah, sit around with your friends and have a kiki, listen to this, have a kiki, have a fun time, have a laugh. Get back to what actually needs to happen afterwards, please, because we need everyone on the same page now. This is just your break. Take this as your break. Have an hour and a half out, have an hour out, whatever the episodes are, and then please get back to pushing your energy into the movement, because it's what's needed right now. But that's just one thing we wanted to make clear and really put that the top of this episode so that it wasn't like you didn't think we actually cared about this shit as well. Because this is, we both know this is fucking stupid. We know there's bigger things in the world. We're just having fun because we're idiots and want to talk about idiotic people doing idiotic 100%, things.
100%. And yeah, so with that being said,
we're going to get into some YouTube stuff, like I say.
Yeah.
I'm going to run through this real quick because we were both talking about this and I'd consumed all of this and watched all the videos and then just felt empty afterwards. And then Ari, I think you had managed to put it into words for me. You had said that this is just moving the needle off where it needs to be right now. And I was like, oh yeah, this just makes me really angry and really sad and whatever else. But we're going to quickly talk about YouTube drama again in part three, which is happening happening. It's in the process of happening.
I'm so sorry. Don't pause the episode, but can you just give me a second? My aunt's calling me.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Ari's on the phone to her aunt. She's not on the phone. Da, 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 da. Ari is talking to her aunt. This is the Ari is talking to her aunt. Interlude, interlude, interlude. Ari is talking to her aunt. Interlude, interlude. Ari is talking to her aunt. Interlude. Now, here's the clever thing when I'm doing the audio editing. I can go back and take that section of this is the Ari is talking to her aunt. Interlude. And I can loop it as many times as I need to. Hello. Or as few times as I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. Hello. I was talking to the mic. You'll see when it comes out.
My earpods.
What? Is it to be a secret? Okay. Well, this is all staying in. Anyway. So, YouTube drama again in part three has just gone on. And it's actually really surprising because it starts off with Jenna Marbles, which you wouldn't expect to... you know, drama to start with her because she was our quote-unquote unproblematic queen, which in itself is problematic because she's human and blah, blah, blah. And basically she put up a video apologizing for instances of blackface and yellowface that she had done on her channel back in 2011, 2012, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about her other problematic videos where she has a video that was very slut-shamey. She has videos that were very, like, based on what girls do and what boys do and sort of perpetuating patriarchal stereotypes. So she comes out and she, you know, for all intents and purposes, not that it's ever my apology to accept, but she ticks the boxes of not saying, I'm sorry you feel. She ticks the box of saying, I'm sorry I hurt you. I can't accept that apology, but from an outsider's perspective, I was like, okay, it's an actual apology and that's cut and dry where I can comment on it.
Yeah, so basically I think as a person that could partially accept the apology you know, like, she was doing blackface, she was doing yellowface, and then she was making, you know, what girls do, what guys do videos. I will say, like, this kind of goes back into last week of the whole, like, you knew it was wrong but you did it anyways thing. And in terms of Jenna Marbles and saying, you know, she doesn't want to hurt anybody and, like, this is detrimental, and it, like, she wasn't doing it in an ironic way, like, it was completely just for parody and for quote-unquote fun. Like, I can understand. And she did give a really good apology. And she did say flat out, I was wrong and I don't want to hurt anybody. And so, you know, I completely understand that. On a bigger scale, just to connect really quickly to what we were talking about last week, we're seeing, you know, big TV shows like 30 Rock, like The Office, like, you know, The Golden Girls and things like that. Golden
Girls, yeah.
Yeah, taking down episodes with quote-unquote blackface. But, like, okay, 30 Rock I can't speak for. I didn't really... That show, I lost interest in that show so quickly. But The Office, basically the blackface episode was an episode on Svelte Piet, which is a Dutch, it's Dutch folklore. It's Dutch holiday folklore about...
yeah, it means Black Peter in English.
Yeah. And so basically it's, I don't know, it's just like negative stereotypes. And it actually, like, highlighted really well the stuff that, like, people in that area of the world still do today. And like people just like in general, people in Europe still dress up in blackface for holidays like that today. And yeah, it was just kind of like, okay, like, I don't know why you would take that down. Like, that's like, it's ironically educational. And I think The Office especially is one of those shows where it was just like a bunch of, like, the writer's room was, you know, people of color, like a couple of people of color and a bunch of white liberal people who actually got it, because you go back and watch the episodes and they're like,
yeah,
they're making fun of white liberalism and just 100%. That whole realm of thing. And so it's just kind of like, in some cases I understand, in other cases it's just like, this is very self-serving, self-censoring, and just like our term redactivism that we, I don't know, kind of came up with last week. It just,
we definitely weird. Coined it.
But in terms of Jenna
Marbles,
oh my god,
merch idea.
Redactivism.
Just a big black marker.
I was literally about to say, it's Tina Fey, but there's like a black marker bar over her eyes or something.
Oh my god. I don't think we have the license to Tina Fey's face. Like, I don't know if that's the thing, but I definitely don't think we can sell Tina Fey's face. But so Jenna comes out, and I don't think she tries to. She isn't redacting now. She redacted those videos years
ago. A long time ago.
For clarity, she showed exactly the clips that people were talking about, and she then mentions, and this is the bit we're going to go on to, is she then talks about how she's being hounded because of some of the relationships that she has with other YouTubers. Now, between the lines, you know, if you can read between the lines, you know that she's talking about her relationship with Shane Dawson because of everything that's happening with him right now. And this moves on to the Shane Dawson part, which we're going to run through this quickly because I honestly don't give a shit at this point because I think they're all trash. Apart from Jenna, they're all fucking trash. So Shane Dawson uploads this video and he says, oh, it was a sign from the universe when Jenna uploaded hers. It was like, no, Jenna indirected. You know, she mentioned you indirectly in her video. This isn't a sign from the universe. People were atting you and saying you need to get on camera right now and talk about this. He comes out, does a fake-ass apology, blames it on his childhood trauma, which, by the way, as someone with also childhood trauma, I'm not a racist piece of shit, so...
Exactly. I think... Yeah.
And I use comedy as well. Like, I've always used comedy to get over that sort of thing for me. I've still not been racist, so...
No, like, it's the exact same thing. It's like, I am also a person with childhood trauma, and when I got into comedy, like we were talking about last week, when I got into comedy, it was like, oh, here's more trauma. So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, so he blames it all on his childhood trauma, which just is not, like, I'm sorry that he has childhood trauma and I'm sorry that he's obviously went through something, but at the same time, that isn't the rod with which you can use to be other people. Like, go to therapy, talk to someone, do something. But anyway, so then the Smith family, as in Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, it was Jaden Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, both tweet out saying that Shane has crossed the line. There's no more excuses this time. They're going to come after him. Don't know where that has led to because they just tweeted and then assuming they're doing something behind the scenes. I don't know.
They came out and said that. And then all of that stuff with August Alsina and their whole, like, Will and Jada's whole open relationship, that went. And so Jada Pinkett Smith sent out a tweet this morning that was like, it was something like, there's a lot to be discussed. I am inviting myself to the red table. And it was which is in reference to her Facebook talk show.
Yeah.
Red Table Talk. And it's just kind of like, okay, like, is she just going to sit and address the nation by herself
and interview herself?
Like,
I know. I mean, Red Table Talk is actually, like, it's quite good. I haven't watched all of it, and I'm not going to say I'm a fan of the show. What I have watched seems pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see what she comes out and says. But other than the tweets, they've not directly said anything more in terms of the Shane Dawson story. Blair White was the next person who then said something. She put out a video she's a YouTuber as well, sorry. She's absolute trash, by the way, in everything else, but anyway, she comes on and allegedly has been shown the voice note, this infamous voice note that Jeffree Star has, which proves that James Charles is a sexual predator. And she comes on and is like, I've heard the voice note. James is 100% like a predator, allegedly. And she's like scared because Jeffree apparently has like dirt on everyone and all this sort of shit. And it just like, it didn't make much sense. And she was still like, Jeffree Star is still a manipulative piece of trash, but James Charles is also a predator, but also like, I love Shane. And it was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, it was weird.
Very strange video, because now like, she just basically like sided with everyone and then sided with no one. And I was like, okay, Blair, yeah. Fine. And then Tati Westbrook, who is like, I love the word you've chosen here, because again, I'm looking at our document that we have. Ari has written Tati Westbrook, the proprietor of Dramageddon 2, which, love that. She's basically made another 40-minute video where she's like, legally, I'm going to read from this script because my lawyers are involved, which is like, oh, finally, after you heard this voice note that apparently confirms that someone has been sexually assaulted however long ago, someone's finally got lawyers involved. Brilliant. So she comes on and allegedly.
Everything we say. She comes on
and she alleged. Please don't sue us. We're both poor. You'll get nothing but a sad look from me.
You think people are really going to sue poor minorities in this time? Honestly, I wouldn't put it past them. Never mind.
Yeah, I was about to say. But anyway, Tati Westbrook, she has a script, she's doing this video, it's like 40 minutes long, and she basically, with her white woman tears superpower, tries to flip the script and say that it was all Shane and Jeffree who manipulated her into coming forth and doing her Bi Sisters video, and manipulated her into the, you know, picking the content for that video as well, basically, manipulated into her believing certain things. And basically, like, takes it all back. Mm-hmm. And then apologizes to James. Which, by the way, this video could have been 5 minutes long. Fuck 40 minutes. No one has time for that. It could have been 5 minutes long. It could have said, I'm sorry, James. I'm sorry to everyone else I'm hurt. I fucked up. I was manipulated by Jeffree and Shane. That could have been the video. Instead, she talks about her vitamin brand and her beauty brand far more than should have been mentioned in an apology video. She talks about her own conspiracy theories about how Jeffree Star is allegedly the owner of Morphe, and that's why they needed to get rid of Tati, because Morphe's bringing out their own vitamin range, which is going to compete with Tati.
Which, like, okay, let's stop really quickly in there. Do you know how many companies there are for hair vitamin gummies? They've been around long, long, long before Tati. They will be around long, long, long after. Like, there are just so many and such a diverse range. Uh-huh. Like, I didn't even know about Tati's when I was, like, I didn't even see Tati's brand when I was researching the hair, skin, and nail vitamin gummies that I wanted. And second mm-hmm. of all, she took the time out to apologize to Jackie Aina.
Who, why stop bringing Jackie Aina into this? Jackie Aina has never been part of this, has never wanted to be part of this, has just been on her channel doing her fun thing, having a fun time with Jackie. Like, she's just, like, genuinely, like, honestly, Jackie Aina, I think, is what the beauty community used to be about probably, like, 8-9 years ago. Mm-hmm. And she hasn't changed since then. She has just been trying out new products, trying to do a smoky eye, trying to put trying a new blusher and bronzer on and whatever else, and actually giving you good reviews, like, talking about how products can be applied, how well they apply. Like, she's doing what the beauty community should be doing rather than talking about all this shite. But the long story short with the YouTube stuff is Tati is now, like we said, she had a script because she's now apparently, you know, she started legal proceedings. And last that I've looked at it is Shane Dawson's 3 YouTube channels have all been demonetized. The content is still there, but they've been demonetized. And then the last little thing I've seen is Trisha Paytas, who is, again, 100% trash. She did a video, but, and we were discussing this earlier, she did say that she was the one person out of all of this who actually said, this is a piss take when there's bigger things happening in the world right now to do with Black Lives Matter and do with everyone else. And I was like, okay, one point was made. And that's all. I was like, not points. One point was made. I was like, okay, fair. And then I think that there was someone else that happened as well, but I honestly don't care at this point. Oh, Ryland started tweeting about everyone and saying, God. Like, and retweeting. And I was like, Ryland, just all of you should take a minute just to be quiet. You're doing nothing but digging at the moment. And just, I'm so done with it because, like Trisha Paytas said, never thought I'd say that. There's bigger things in the world to be fucking worried about. And like, because you guys all just fucking care about views and whatever. And here's the other thing, right, about the James Charles recording that Jeffree Star apparently has. If that recording's real, why the fuck has no one gone to the police? And I understand that it's the victim's place or the survivor's place, whatever terminology you like to use. I know that they're interchangeable depending on the person who has been the subject of sexual violence. But when that survivor or victim is ready to go forward, I understand that they'll probably be the one to make the decision to go forward. But why has this been held over James Charles's head like the Sword of Damocles? Like, to me, it's just like blackmail is just not... How do I put this? Sexual predation is obviously heinous. That is a crime. It is disgusting. Mm-hmm. But blackmail is so petty to me. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
No, it really is. Like, this whole situation is like, first of all, like, in terms of, you know, it started off as a connection to things that were actually going on in the world. Jenna Marbles coming out and saying, I'm sorry that I hurt people. And she didn't say specifically black people or Asian people or women or whoever, but she said, I don't want to hurt anybody. I'm sorry for these videos, and owned up to that. And then it becomes, you know, we're kind of in this like second phase of Me Too, where Shane Dawson and Jeffree Star are getting pulled into a lot of it, where it's like, okay, there's sexual assault allegations, there's rape allegations. Of course, Jeffree Star is a racist and all of these other things, which is why Jenna Marbles is coming out to apologize for being friends with Shane and Jeffree in the first place. But it's just kind of like, okay, like, that was relevant. But now it's turning into a literal he said, she said. And there's 100%. No proof or evidence, and everything's getting tied up with quote unquote lawyers. And, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, I don't know who to believe. And I'm not really sure who necessarily is the perpetrator and who all was, you know, victimized in this case. Of course, 100%. I'm going to go on to believe victims, like, of course, but in terms of like, it's just getting way too jumbled to the point where it's like, I'm not really sure what's true and what's not, and how much you're just trying to exploit the national moment by talking about, you know, being racist or being friends with a white supremacist or, you know, sexual assault. Yeah. I don't know how much you are exploiting the national moment. So it's just like, you know, you have to step away from stuff like this when it gets to that point, because it's like, this is no longer about change, enacting change or whatever is going on. It's about drama and specific people within drama.
And I just want to make because I don't feel like I made myself very clear before. Sexual violence is a crime. Yes. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, for someone else who isn't the victim or the survivor to keep proof of that as a rod to beat someone around the face with it, or to silence them or to blackmail them, is in itself despicable.
Yep.
Because they're using the pain of the survivor or the victim, whatever terminology they prefer to use, as a means of controlling someone else. That's fucked up on a level. It's fucked up. It's fucked up that Jeffree Star apparently, allegedly, has this recording of a victim of James Charles and is showing it to everyone, but is using it to blackmail James Charles. James Charles, if the allegations turn out to be true, yeah, he should face a jury of his peers, and that should be taken down the legal route as and when the victim or the survivor feels comfortable and are able to do that and bring themselves forward to be vocal about that. it should not be on some third party's phone that gets showed around at podcast recordings and gets sent to other YouTubers for a little bit of tea and gossip and trying to pull people. Like, no, fuck that. Fuck that. Sorry, that bit makes me mad. sorry. I'll cut that out.
No. Hold. Yeah, give me a second. Give me like 2 seconds.
I have so okay. much
nose hair. Okay, yep, I'm back. Yeah, sorry, what were you saying? What were you saying?
I just said, like, I have so much nose hair. I was just looking at my nose going, I have so much nose hair. So yeah, that's kind of been YouTube. And honestly, like we were saying the other day, I'm kind of over it at this point. Like, mm-hmm. Do you know what? Here's some positive YouTube news. One of my favorite channels, Drawfy, which they do fun improv comedy drawing sessions. It's a strange concept, but basically they do improv comedy whilst drawing things. Very funny. They were part of College Humor. Just found out they've got their channel from them. They're completely independent, so they can actually start making proper content again. So that's some positive YouTube news.
Yeah, just there we go.
To end on a positive note, because honestly, fuck these people.
moving swiftly on.
Yeah.
So basically, I think we're talking about the idolization of celebrities and like worshiping celebrities this week, because like, as we can see with YouTube, there's the obvious, like a lot of people are just like, I can't believe this is going on. I can't believe, you know, all of these people that I've watched this my whole life are like that. And it's like, well, mm-hmm. yeah. And then there's just this other side of complete denial. And it's like, mm-hmm. and you know, people are denying these things because they've spent so long with these people. You know what I mean? And it's like,
yeah, and it's almost like they get themselves into a situation of like gaslighting themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know if that's a thing, but like almost like convincing themselves that this obviously can't be real because this person is perfect and everything. Surprise, they're not.
Yeah, and so I think we've experienced that in YouTube, and the fan reaction or whatever. A lot of it is very confusing. A lot of it is denial. And a lot of it is just, it's getting really weird and convoluted. But another place that we can see celebrity worship and the idolization of celebrities is, I think, in the rap community. And, you know, this goes back to, what, like 3 weeks ago at this point?
I think so, when, yeah.
J. Cole and the whole tone policing thing with No Name, who's a rapper from Chicago. Just running through the story because I'm sure pretty much everybody's heard it at this point.
I was gonna say, just quickly, some people might not know what tone policing is, but that is basically like part of respectability politics, where you take issue with not with what someone's saying but how they're saying it to try and delegitimize their statement, right?
Yeah, it's basically, I think it's something that a lot of people, a lot of Elizabeth Warren supporters were using in the primary election, where people,
and
a
who's
lot of
Elizabeth
like,
Warren? No.
A lot of people were just like, oh, like, why don't you vote for Bernie? Like, this is what Bernie believes. Like, you know, if Bernie and Elizabeth Warren believe the same things, then why wouldn't you just vote for this person who has had a longer history of believing these things and who hasn't been exploitative to Indigenous American communities or Indian American communities and all these other things? And a lot of Elizabeth Warren people were like, well, I'm voting for Elizabeth Warren because like her supporters aren't as aggressive and her supporters aren't mean. And it's just kind of like, okay, so you're basing what you're saying off of people that have like, I just don't know, you know what I mean? Like, you think, oh, Bernie supporters are scary or too aggressive, and you don't want to follow the person's ideology. You want to look at a bunch of people that are either radical or, you know, are rightly so upset and angry and don't understand why you wouldn't vote for Bernie. And you want to say, well, maybe if, there was a lot of discourse that was like, well, maybe if Bernie Sanders supporters were nicer, then I would vote for Bernie. And it's like, why are you weaponizing your vote like that? It just didn't make sense. And that was one of the most detrimental examples of tone policing, because it's just kind of like, that's weird. But basically, J. Cole came out with a song. He's a rapper, came out with a song that was called Snow on the Bluff. And it's basically, part of it is talking about a woman that seems to be smarter than him, that seems to be more well-read than him, that is patronizing him and, you know, telling him that he's not doing enough, that he's not learning enough, and that, you know, she's just superior to him in terms of knowledge, intelligence, and all of this other stuff. And, you know, he's just this woe is me, like he's college educated, but he's not that smart. And maybe women, and especially this unnamed person, should take the time to hold his hand and should take the time to hold Black men's hand and walk them through, you know, what they're doing wrong within the movement or what they're doing wrong within the community. And, you know, he used the phrase treat us like children in terms of teaching people how to move and how to behave. And it's kind of like, okay, like, my thing is, for J. Cole, who, you know, I don't know if you want to read it, but on his sophomore album, he had a lot of things to say about gay people, especially gay Black men.
So, to give you a quick excerpt,
from his song,
My Verbal Ache. Illuminati. My verbal AK slay faggots, and I don't mean no disrespect whenever I say faggot. Okay, faggot. Don't be so sensitive. If you want to get fucked in the ass, that's between you and whoever. Sorry. And whoever else's dick it is. Pause. Maybe that line was too far. Just a little joke to show how homophobic you are, and who can blame you. Sorry for laughing, but see when you read that out, deadpan.
It's like
just me in my room alone at night, just saying, if you want to get fucked in the ass, that's between you and whoever else's dick it is.
And it's just kind of like, there's that. And then, you know, the lines after are talking, or a reference to the, you know, Disney sitcom Boy Meets World, where he's talking about finding a new Topanga. And I don't know. Then he makes a song, No Role Models, where he's differentiating the difference between women and bitches, basically. And it's basically the same joke that, God, who was that? Was that Chris Rock that made the joke?
If you're acting like a faggot.
Oh, there's the Chris joke. There's the Chris Rock joke.
Chris joke.
Chris joke. There's the Chris Rock joke where he's like, there are Black people and then there are niggas. And so it's just kind of like, there's a difference between that. I don't know. Is that a similar? Do you have
Chris,
a similar?
No, it was Chris Rock who did the exact same joke, but he was like basically saying there's gay people and there's faggots. And
yeah.
Like, cool.
And so the difference is, you know, in terms of the song No Role Models, which is just kind of like, okay, there are women that want to be respected and there are women that are respectful and there are women.
I thought for a second you were going to describe the difference between gay people and faggots.
Oh my God.
And I was like, cool, I guess we're here.
It's just a Venn diagram that is just one circle. So, yeah. No, but
sorry, you're in the middle of saying something.
J. Cole's basically on the song No Role Models, and basically kind of the same thing where he's saying, oh, I want to find a new Topanga, where it's just, there's a difference between women who want to be respected, who want to be respectful, who want to go along with, you know, generally just, I don't know, just traditional ideas of what it is to be a woman and being a quote-unquote ride or die and like all of these other things. And then there are women who are bitches who work at the strip club, who do sex work, who, you know, exploit men and who are just, who are disrespectful to men, who don't want to raise their kids and all of these other things. And, you know, the chorus of that song is don't save her, she don't want to be saved. And it's just kind of like, okay, so J. Cole,
okay, out of context, that's pretty good advice. If someone doesn't want you to help them, don't fucking help them.
Yeah.
If someone doesn't want anything 100%. To do with you, leave them to it.
100%. Like, there's personal accountability and personal responsibility and things like that. But I think J. Cole is also lumping women who hustle within sex work and who hustle within their respective jobs, whatever they may be. Mm-hmm. What, like, if you find them respectful work or respectful careers or not, he's saying, you know, those women don't want to be saved. He's saying women that just, like, don't fit within his bubble or his idea mm-hmm. of what a good woman is don't want to be saved and don't deserve respect and don't deserve to be treated like humans, in the same way that he's, like, I don't know, on tracks saying, oh, like, if you don't want to be called the F slur, then you don't need to be out here wanting to be, you know, fucked in the ass or whatever. It's just kind of, like, weird, you know what I mean? And J. Cole yeah. is college educated. He is college educated. And he does have all of this money. And with all of that money, you have all of these resources. You probably have, like, 3 phones. I'm sure all of those phones have Google. You know what I mean? Like, you have...
I love how the overarching theme of I Saw a Magpie is we all have Google.
Like, we really do all have Google.
We,
like,
do. We really do.
God. Oh, my gosh. Like,
some of us even, you know, have Alexa. You don't even have to type.
Right. Like, and so... You know, he's saying, like, oh, I'm just a poor boy from a poor neighborhood, and, like, this is how I grew up. But it's like, okay, you've moved out of that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you want to, over the years, he's kind of designated himself as a community leader. And, like, yeah, he is out marching in the streets, you know what I mean? But at the same time, here you are, you don't accept all Black people. You don't respect all mm-hmm. Black people. And for you to tell this woman who has a book club and who has put in the work after she was publicly criticized, who has put in the work and put in the reading and has not gone to college, to tell her that she needs to be talking about people and talking to people in a certain way to get your respect and attention because you don't like the way that she's talking to you, because you don't like the things that she's saying, it's just so weird. And then to afterwards... disown everything, to own the song, because he tweeted afterwards, like, I meant everything I said in the mm-hmm. song and I'll die on that hill, but go follow No Name.
Right, what? Okay.
Like, you completely criticize this woman and yeah. you started all of this discourse and now you want us to go follow her? That's not the way it works. You could have been completely silent. You could have
yep.
done the reading because you are the one that's college educated. You could have retracted statements and said, hey, you know, maybe I was wrong for not supporting all Black men. Maybe I was wrong mm-hmm. for not respecting all Black women. Maybe I wasn't pumping all of the money and all of my time and efforts and resources into the right things. Maybe I need to read more. But instead, what you did was, I don't know, called Black boys, young Black boys, the F slur. Mm-hmm. You've made this differentiation for your audience, which is largely Black men, Latinx men, just, you know, people of color. You've made this differentiation between women and bitches. And you yourself have, you recognize your platform and you recognize that you are a leader in the Black community. And so just to disown all of that, and then tone police somebody for wanting to actually do the work and do the reading and put in the effort is just so disingenuous. And there's all of these people that are out here defending this person instead of just saying, maybe I can do better and maybe this person can also do better. And then we have Nipsey Hussle being upheld as this community leader. He is a rapper that died in, I think, 2018. And
okay.
basically... you know, he did do a lot of work in the community. He put in a lot of work with young kids and things like that. And, like, I completely understand that. I respect that. He was talking about, you know, building from the ground up for young boys okay. and girls, especially in, like, poor neighborhoods. But he posted something on Instagram a while back about this. I think it was a convention that he held for young Black boys. And basically he said, demonstration speaks louder than conversation. They're going to feed us every image of our men and boys, but this one. No hyper-violent, no homosexual, no abandoners, just strong Black men and young men. And it was just kind of like, and then somebody checked him out. Somebody called him mm-hmm. out and was like, hey, they didn't even do it in a combative way. They were like, hey, like, this is detrimental. Don't, you know, maybe we shouldn't say this. Yeah. Like, there are black boys that, you know, this is just a negative stereotype. And basically, he was like, I don't have to be politically correct because, like, I'm not on anybody else's platform. And, like, it's just, he was basically like, don't gaslight me into believing that gay black men and gay black young boys deserve rights. He said it in a completely different way. And like, I'm like reading from XXL magazine, but yeah, so there was that. And it's just kind of like, so he died, basically he was murdered in front of his store. He was shot and a lot of black queer people, he was shot in front of his store in LA, and a lot of black queer people were either silent or saying, you know, I know we're talking about his legacy, but let's just remember that he was a homophobic person that didn't want to give queer black boys rights or access to his events. And he doubled down on it more than one time, more than in that Instagram post, you know what I mean? And it's just kind of like, okay, like, and people got so upset over that. And it's just like, okay, this is a real thing that happened. It's like, it's not like, oh, why are you bringing this up? It's because we don't want to sensationalize somebody that did have a problematic past. And is that's hurting people. Mm-hmm. We understand how great of a community leader he was to straight people. And he gave advantages to straight people. But there's this whole other section of the community that he's leaving out. Then we move on to Nas, who... I'm glad nobody listens to our podcast at this point, because I don't even want to think about all of the hate that I would get if a bunch of people heard me saying Nas is problematic.
Like, there is no getting around about it, because he physically, verbally, emotionally abused Khalees.
Yeah.
You can't, like, get around that. Like, and it's not to say, like, this is why I think we need to make it very clear that the problem is the idolization of these celebrities. It's not, I mean, obviously what the celebrities do is problematic, but what's even worse for people as us, as, you know, plebs who are just sitting here watching these people, is when we say these people cannot be criticized because I enjoy their content. Nas is a fantastic rapper. His music is fantastic. No discredit to any of that. That's great. But he's also was a piece of shit to Khalees. And those two statements don't negate one another. And that, exactly. I think, that's the overarching theme of this. One, everyone has Google. And two, for this episode specifically, is people can be both great in some aspects and shitty in others. So,
exactly.
Don't cancel us over Nas, because all we're saying is his music was great, but also he did these terrible things.
Yeah, and I mean,
and that's that.
It, like, I just, like, always had a problem with, like, so Yara Shahidi, she's on Blackish, she's on Grown-ish, she's, like, very well read. Like, she's, I think she's a Harvard student at this point. She got accepted to Harvard, and, you know, I think she's attending Harvard at this point. Like, there's, she reads Baldwin, like, smart, that's, woman. I think that's her favorite author. There's just this author, there's just...
My favorite author is The Art Fark.
Right, like, when I'm walking down the street. She's just very well read, and she's very intelligent, and but she, I remember there's this point on Instagram, and I like unfollowed her shortly after, where like she was just like, I love Nas, like Nas is the best, like Nas is my favorite, and then everybody in the comments is just kind of like, okay, but Nas is abusive. And like Khalees came out last year, I think it was last year, with one piece about, you know, how Nas physically abused her the whole time that they were in that relationship, and how she has trouble with her kid and custody and stuff like that because of Nas. And it's just like, I don't know. I just like wouldn't publicly claim somebody that's caused somebody so much trauma and harm, and physically, emotionally, you know, verbally, that's caused so much harm. I just like wouldn't hold them up and like put them on my platform like that. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
She was just like, it was just like every other week something about Nas. And it was just kind of like, this is weird for me. Like, it's making me uncomfortable the way that people want to erase stuff like that. And then again with Khalees, Pharrell took all of her, she came out with an article again last year, a different one where she was talking about Pharrell. And I have to go back and, like, you know, completely fact check and everything. But basically, he took all of her money when she started out. I think it was her publishing and her rights when she started her career. And so,
which is basically your right to make money on any of your own creative.
Yeah.
Like, and so, creative content, basically.
And so, basically, when she confronted him and the other members of NERD, which is a group that Pharrell is in with two other guys, they were like, oh, you should have been more diligent. You should have had somebody to look over this. Like, now you know better next time. You know what I mean? Like, they were just like, oh, tough tits, like, whatever. And so, like, even, I think Milkshake, I don't think Khalees gets a dime for the song Milkshake or all of her other, like, beginning out works. Like, I think Pharrell and, like, the guys in Nerd get all the money for that. Like, don't quote me on that, but, like, they get a significant portion of her money. Like, you're not supporting Khalees, you're supporting Pharrell, who stole all that shit from her. He, like, took advantage of her as a new artist. That was the first kind of Pharrell thing that happened. And, you know, you have people commenting on this, and at the time I saw people commenting on this, like, yeah, she should have been more diligent, she should have, like, figured this out, she should have got a lawyer
as
to do
a
this.
New artist,
like, what in, like, 2000 and whatever, you know what I mean?
But also, like, as a brand what? New artist who's getting signed, you would be like, I don't know Khalees's financial situation prior to getting signed or that, like, but most of the people I know who are looking to get signed, apart from all of the industry plants that we discussed in episode one, go back and listen to it. most of the people I know who do music don't exactly come from the most affluent of backgrounds to be able to afford lawyer fees when they're getting signed. Because a lot of these contracts, they don't exactly give you a big cash lump sum and say, you're now a bazillionaire. It's like, you still have to work to make money. You know, you don't instantly sign a contract and you've made a shit ton of money. You've got to sell albums, sell tours, do all that sort of shit, and then maybe you get some of your money. As far
afterwards, Khalees was like, oh, yeah, I tell people this, and they're always like, oh, well, like, I've seen you with Pharrell recently, or I've seen you in the same room as Pharrell recently, like, you must not hate him that much. And she's like, I'm not going to... She was at the front row when he was performing one time, and, like, they made eye contact, and she was like, yeah, I'm not going to be in the front row of a crowd and just yell out, you stole all my publishing, blah, 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 and just, like, go on a tirade, because that would make her look insane. Like, of course she's not going to do that. It's just, like, this incessant need to defend people. And, of course, Pharrell has done so much. He's such an amazing producer. Like, he's done so much of Beyonce's stuff. He did Ariana Grande's whole album for Sweetener. Like, there's just so many, like... Those are just, like, the tip of the iceberg, you know? Like, he's just done so much. And all of it, like, most of it is just so good. And so, but it just doesn't take away from the fact that he's taken all of Khalees's publishing and rights, or, like, whatever he stole from her. It doesn't take away from the fact that it took him so long after Blurred Lines was made and everybody came to the consensus that it was a song about rape culture. Like, it took him... what, like, 6 years after that song to be like, yeah, maybe that was a bad decision.
Yeah, like, something like
he
that.
Has Far this whole long. Concept of, like, the new black, or the idea that I saw this, God, when did I see this? I saw this, I think, a couple of years ago, but basically the new black is the idea that people are, like, solely responsible for themselves, that black people need to stop blaming the system or blaming other people on their misfortunes, and that if you want to go out and get something, if you want to go out and do something, then you can do it. And, you know, it's just like, okay, that kind of, that goes further back, because it's not actually a new idea. It's not the new black. It's this idea of the new Negro that comes from Alan Leroy Locke in 1925, which challenged white imposed black stereotypes through respectability politics, which is a whole different episode. It was basically saying, you know, we're newly freed slaves, a lot of us, and we want to challenge those stereotypes of what slaves are, that slaves are lazy, that all slaves do is sit around and eat watermelon, that, you know, we don't know anything. And so here you have a bunch of black men saying we can be better than that. And what is better than that? Like, what is the best you can be in society? The best you can be is white. And so these Black men, you know, adopt the way of talking, speaking, thinking, acting to be better, to be new, to be new mm-hmm. Negroes. And like, if they can do that, and if, you know, slavery is abolished at this point, then there's nothing stopping them from getting there. And of course, this was progressive at the time, but it's now mm-hmm. so obsolete because, you know, we understand what systemic racism is. We understand what sexism is. We understand that people, that white people and cisgendered straight people have imposed stereotypes on us and said that this is the respectable way to be. And if you act this way, you won't get killed by the police. If you act this way, you can get a job. If you act this way, then you can go to university. And it's just like, we all see now that that's just so untrue. You know what I mean? And we've seen it for a long time. And so Pharrell, who is a bazillionaire at this point, who has so much money because of all the, like, and he's done hard work. Like, I understand he's put in hard work. But at the same time, like, it's just not like that for everybody to make this blanket statement to say, oh, Black people need to pull up their pants and, you know, get to work and stop blaming everybody mm-hmm. else is just kind of like so regressive, especially as a Black figurehead in entertainment. Like, what are you doing to help other Black people besides telling them that they should not act this way and act this way?
No, 100%. And again, it's that sort of, hypocrisy is too strong a word of it for it, but it's that sort of like double standard of, yeah, you've made it and I've made it, and but that's not the same for everyone, and that goes throughout everything. Like, your journey is not the same as everyone else's, and you can't judge other people by your own stick. And then when you do that and you talk about systemic racism and systematic racism, it's like, okay, so telling Black people to stop blaming the system and just focus on themselves forgets a really big point here, that everyone is part of this system. You can't live outside the system. To be a part of Western civilization is to be a part of this system.
Like, look at Elijah McClain.
Exactly.
He played the violin. He was a massage therapist. Like, he's playing the violin for cats. Like, he's anemic, you know, like, he had this, like, alt-rock, like, indie kind of, like, punk look about him. You know what I mean? Like,
100%.
He's just, like, he's this skinny kid walking down the street, coming back from a convenience store. He's wearing a mask over his face because he's anemic, and he's so quirky, he's dancing down the street.
Yeah.
And he gets shot with 400 milligrams, I think it was, of ketamine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's brutalized by the police, and now he's dead. Look at Breonna Taylor, a hardworking EMT who's she's working through the pandemic.
Yep.
Trying to get herself together. You go back on her Twitter and you read her Twitter page, and she's talking about all the goals that she's setting for herself, all the things that she wants to get right, how she wants to have a child, how she wants to be financially stable. The police ran up in her house and shot her 20 times. They told her mother that they don't have the report. We find the report. The report's completely blank. Those officers are walking around free right now. And you have a Black attorney general who is doing nothing for her and who is a Black attorney general who is doing nothing for her and who is sitting up at engagement parties and going on with his life, who's actively opposing police reform, not even defunding or abolishment or anything like that, who's actively imposing police reform. Black people are so diverse and so multifaceted. And there are good ones and bad ones, but not in the way that we've been stereotyped and not in the way that we think. And so to idolize people that have essentially no nuance, to idolize people that have come up, especially in a minority community, if you're a person of color, or if you're a queer person, or if you're both, if you're a person with a disability, if you're differently abled, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people will get to the top and turn around and kick the ladder out from under them. A lot of those people will willingly and actively hold on to their quote-unquote belief systems, even though they have all of the resources at their hands. And they will get on their huge platforms and spew hate, and their fans will come running to their defense.
Yeah.
And it gets so bad that it goes into, you're going to be protected by cops, and you're going to be protected by other people who have money, which is what happens with the Time's Up movement and the mm-hmm. Me Too movement. You see Jeffrey Epstein, who's protected by all the cops and all the socialites in the world, who, when all of these women go to tell their stories to the cops are like, yeah, we discourage that you look further into this.
Yep.
That you keep fighting for this. You just need to wrap this up because Jeffrey Epstein owned the cops.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell just got arrested by the FBI this morning. So we'll see how that goes. We'll keep an eye on that. But, you know, you have Harvey Weinstein and the disbelief that he could have sexually assaulted or, you know, attempted to exchange sexual favors to over 80 women.
Yep.
You see Harvey Weinstein's prolific career and all of the movies that he's worked on. And then you, first of all, can't believe that he's done this to over 80 women. And second of all, people on, you know, the Weinstein production board and people that have worked for him have this complete disbelief that he's ever done this. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, really? Like, you don't believe that he, like, you never saw signs, or were you just ignoring them? You know what I mean? Like,
I certainly think it's willful ignorance over true ignorance in that case, allegedly.
Like, you have people coming out. You have people coming out to defend these people at every stop, and it's like, why? Because you feel that they have so much power. I mean, look at R. Kelly. He's trapping women in closets. He's been doing this for, what, like 20 years? He's defecating on small girls. Like, he puts them in closets and defecates on them, and people still defend him. Mm-hmm. And then people say, oh, what about Weinstein? Why aren't we focused on Harvey Weinstein? What? Taraji P. Henson came out and was like, well, why don't we focus on Harvey Weinstein?
Why can't we focus on both? Do you think that a black rapist
should run free? What? Like, that's so weird. You get Bill Cosby, who has this label of America's dad early in his sitcom career, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I think it was two sitcoms where he's playing, it's The Cosby Show, and I think it's another one. I can't remember. It was like in the early 80s, but where he's playing this, you know, lovable guy or this dad. And that was the beacon of the respectable black family. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. was like the dad was a doctor and the mom was a lawyer and all of the kids were, you know, trying to figure themselves out. And they live in this nice brownstone. And that was the respectable black family. When Bill Cosby comes out to be a serial rapist, you have a lot of people within the black community and without, mm-hmm. but a lot of people within defending him, mm-hmm. using the what about Weinstein defense again. You have Felicia Rashad, who played his wife, Claire Huxtable, on The Cosby Show. You have her coming out and defending him and condemning the women who were daring to speak up against him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, it's crazy to me. Like,
it's wild, because we have like something similar here in the UK. We've had Jimmy Savile, who was all over children's TV and all over the television in the 70s and the 80s. And he was doing remarkable things for charity. He was donating a lot of money. He was opening up hospital wings. He was, basically, he did like this TV show called Jim Swap Shop, where kids would write in and say they wanted to do an experience. And you know, he made a lot of things happen for a lot of children for whom it might not have happened otherwise. And I mean that in terms mm-hmm. of like experiences, in terms of access to things, in terms of whatever. But also, he was a serial sexual deviant. He was a pedophile. He was a predator. And it was prolific throughout his lifetime. those two people can exist in the same body, and they're and horrible, disgusting, but you cannot separate the fact that Jimmy Savile did charity work and was also a predator. Those two things cannot be separated, and it's not like you can take one without the other or say, oh, you can't use his charity work to say that he wasn't that bad of a predator, and you can't say, oh, he was an awful, awful predator, and therefore fuck his charity work. There has to be a nuanced conversation that says, yeah, the charity work was great, but also he was a disgusting and reprehensible human being.
Exactly. And he used the charity work to get to kids. Prey on kids, because he had that room that was full of toys, and you know, it was colored and all of those other things to lure kids in there. And it's just like, those two things literally go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And then the other one for the British people out there would be Churchill. Churchill killed nearly, I'm going to get the number wrong, it's either 3 or 30, but it was like 3 million Bengalis in India. Just after the war, I believe, because he basically imposed a famine on them to feed the British. And he said some horrible shit. Just go on Twitter and find a thread of all the horrible shit that Churchill's ever said. This is why people are wanting to take his statues down, because he was vehemently racist. And yet, because he defeated the Nazis and because he defeated Germany in World War II, and this country has a weird fucking boner for World War II, everyone fucking loves him. And I'm like, no, Churchill, yes, he was the Prime Minister when the Allied forces defeated the Nazis. Great. He was also a terrible fucking human being. Those two things can be true of the same person. And if you cannot wrap your head around that, then you shouldn't be talking about it. Because you're not able to have a balanced... And I'm not saying balanced in the way of centrism, like... but both sides are just as bad. I'm saying if you can't see the flaws in someone as well as the potential upswings to them and still recognize that perhaps one outweighs the other, you shouldn't really be talking about it, because a lot of people are like, yeah, but Churchill might have killed 3 million Bengalis, but also he defeated Hitler. And it's like, well, he didn't personally, and also because he did one good thing doesn't make his bad thing less bad, and the vice versa is true. Hello. Oh, Ari, you've muted your mic. Hello.
Shit, my bad. Hello?
That's okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I just looked it up, and it's 3 million.
3 million.
Yeah.
I was going to say 3 million or 30 million, because I can't remember if they're... Anyway. But
well, there's like a 10 times difference between one and the other, so I just wanted to make sure we got that right before we had some World War II nut coming in our, I don't know, fucking mentions or whatever, being like, actually, I don't know!
Oh, for fucking me. But it's just, it's like, if you can't discuss your faves without seeing the problems that they have, then you're not mature enough to be discussing them in any sort of context that actually has any sort of meaning to it. And obviously, like we said at the top of this episode, all of this shit doesn't really have a meaning when we're talking about it, because we're doing this to just chat shit and have a kiki and whatever. But this stuff can mean something to people. Like we've seen with the Black Lives Matter people, that people are going out now and protecting statues in the UK. And I was like, what the fuck are you doing? Burn the whole lot down.
Like, there were Nazis running around in the streets trying to, you know, antagonize Black Lives Matter protests, and the police were protecting the Nazis. And it's just kind of like, okay.
Because they're doing that thing of they're using the good point to minimize the bad point. And it's like, but there comes a point where the bad thing is so reprehensible that you cannot forgive that at any one point. And that's what the celebrity worship thing is, not being able to take a nuanced approach to how celebrities are, or how people of power are, and see that, okay, there's good, there's bad. But they have to fall somewhere in the spectrum of what are the good things they've done, what are the bad things they've done, and are the bad things forgivable, and are the good things actually good? Are they actually good?
And so basically, going into that, like going into reasoning, like why do we worship celebrities? Like why do we idolize celebrities? And I was reading this article by Yetunde Ogunleye. And basically, direct quote from him, we see their lifestyles, their insane paychecks, their influence and access, their talent, their beauty, and somewhere along the line, they stop being like us and they stop being real and they start being better. And I think mm-hmm. we all want to be better.
Yeah.
I think our end goal for at least most of us is to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. And we understand yeah. that over time, you know, you can accumulate things. And that as you grow in your community, as you grow as a person, as you grow with other people, you set goals for yourself to become better. Mm-hmm. I think in the 80s, when reality television just started to become a thing,
mm-hmm.
we see, you know, we see rich people being documented. We see their insane lifestyles. And then it becomes a little more specific and a little more clear for a lot of people. Like, if you think about 80s and, like, the insane amounts of wealth and capitalism and, yeah. you know, all of that stuff.
The yuppies.
You can see these people and you can narrow your goal down into mm-hmm. not just this idea, but this person who is an idea. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. I think idol worship really does start to come about in the 80s when people were starting to be ostentatiously wealthy in a mm-hmm. way that was connected. Because beforehand, really, really wealthy people were mostly politicians and aristocrats. And so it was like mm-hmm. they were sort of private, hush-hush, media wasn't really a thing. And then you get into like the 80s when, or I would say maybe even like the 60s with the Beatles and stuff like that. They were super wealthy and super famous, but they didn't really lead ostentatious lifestyles. And so you have the start of celebrity, yeah. but idol worship really starts to come in like the 80s, like you're saying, when it becomes opulent, Dallas is released, and everyone wants to live that lifestyle with the shoulder pads and the better than you haircut and all the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think somewhere along the lines or somewhere along the way, we see more people of color in these positions or, mm-hmm. you know, we see minorities in these positions and a lot of people of color, a lot of queer people, a lot of other people in minority groups can attach themselves to these people and say, oh, well, if they made it, then I can make it like that, too. You know what yeah, I mean?
100%.
And then you get to the 21st century and especially in recent times with YouTube, with the internet.
Yeah.
With social media, you can see regular people or industry plants or whatever, normal people, and you can say, oh, I want to be like that. You yeah. know what I mean? And yeah. so you don't even, like, your goal doesn't even have to be, you know, to go live in Trump Tower or yeah. to go live in the biggest high rise on the Upper East Side of New York. You know what I mean? Your mm-hmm. goal can be to live in Silver Lake, Los Angeles, with, you know, surrounded by plants, with your, like, I don't know, plant-based keto diet, and to vlog every day and have everybody want to know what's going on in your life. You know what I mean? Like,
have you been reading my diary?
it's just become so much more accessible.
Yeah.
And people still don't realize that, like,
this is all this idol worship.
Everybody can edit things. And we can, you know, even the small people, even the small potatoes, even the quote unquote industry plants.
Even us, we edit stuff.
Edit things. Yeah, like we edit shit all the time. That's yeah. why our episodes go up late sometimes. But yeah, you can edit things to your heart's content and make things look more perfect than they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people only show you what they want you to see. And it's just like you don't get the real full picture. Like.
Mm-hmm. And even then, I think...
And then it gets to the... Yeah.
I was going to say, even then, I think there's a naivety of people. And I think sometimes they want that naivety. They want mm-hmm. to have that sort of suspension of disbelief to believe that these people yeah. are perfect.
Ignorance is bliss.
Ignorance is bliss, absolutely. But the thing is with the democratization of media, as in everyone, like we were saying, everyone can open up their own YouTube channel, everyone can start their own podcast, everyone can do all these things... That suspension of disbelief is getting broken a lot more and a lot more often. Yeah. Because when it comes to someone like Rihanna, Rihanna doesn't put her shit online. So unless Rihanna gets paparazzi doing something or someone talks, we don't know shit about Rihanna apart from what Rihanna decides. And that's just someone I've picked off the top of my head. Whereas people like, fuck it, people like Shane Dawson, who's been on the internet for so long, Rihanna isn't tweeting every day. Rihanna doesn't need to tweet every day. Rihanna's got a team to tweet every day that will tweet the stuff that people who follow Rihanna need to know. Whereas Shane, to maintain relevancy, has to tweet every single day and interact and build engagement and do it that sort of way. And so over time, it's just all this stuff can build up and accumulate. And it's led us to this problem now where you've got the democratization of media. People who aren't given media training before they get famous and then might be have media training afterwards, who need to be constantly online saying shit to keep people engaged in order to keep an audience with them, who then have all these fans who think that the sun shines out their arse.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently it doesn't, because there's decades of, well, not decades, but, you know, 10, 15 years of just shite they've had to put online to get to where they are just now, that has then been used as a rod to beat them around the head. And like you said earlier, you have to weigh it up and say, right, okay, well, is it a really, really bad thing? Or, and by really bad, I mean like criminally bad, or is it like socially bad? Because,
yeah,
you know, and I'm not saying that, you know, one should 100% of the time, like I'm not saying like social bad should 100% of the time be forgiven or whatever, but you can see in terms of like Jenna Marbles, who...
I think it should. I think cancel culture has gone way too far. I think that maybe we should just forgive everyone and draw rings.
I thought for, you had me in the first half, not gonna lie. No, but like, so the point I'm trying to, because I'm trying to draw it to the first thing we talked about, like Jenna Marbles, right? She has a track record of over time, yes, she said some problematic stuff and some racist shit like 8 years ago now, 9 years ago, whatever it was. She has shown for over time, through constantly engaging, that that is no longer the person that she is. And was the stuff that she said criminal? No. Was it socially wrong? Absolutely it was. Has she proven that she's learned from it, atoned for it, and apologized for it? Well, she's shown that she's learned from it. I think she's atoned from it by changing her actions. Again, not me to say whether or not I accept the apology or I accept the atonement or whatever, but this is just, as an observer, I've seen that she's changed her behaviors. Can you give... Can that be forgiven at that point? Again, not for me to say, but this is the best example that I have. Whereas someone like Shane, who continuously has said derogatory, like disgusting things about children, which is not only socially wrong, but is criminally wrong, if anything, if there's anything more behind that, allegedly. But the stuff that he says is absolutely reprehensible. Has he done racist shit as well? And is that a social wrong? That is a social wrong. And it's absolutely reprehensible. And it's just like, okay, so Jenna had a few boo-boos here and there that were social wrongs and has attained, you know, explained them, understood why they're wrong, apologized for it. That's one side. And then you've got Shane, who has a track record of just doing the most morally reprehensible shit and saying the most morally reprehensible shit and doesn't make an apology for it. And if you put both of them on the same pedestal, one of them is going to be forgiven. And people are, I know people who are fucking gutted that Jenna has stepped away from the channel. And I'm like, it's Jenna's choice. She can step away from a channel anytime she fucking wants. And yet I know people who are angry at people who are angry at Shane Dawson. And it's like, you need to be able to pull your head out your arse and recognize that Shane Dawson is a problematic human being. And in this case, the good that he has done for the world, what good has he done for the world, first and foremost? Is he a community leader? No. Is he supporting a bunch of charities and doing a bunch of charity work and whatever that we see? No. And his social evils, or the bad stuff that he's done, in my opinion, far outweighs any good that he's done. And that is why I think the situations are... The key difference between Jenna and Shane is one in how they've handled all of this, but in a very objective, fact-based way, Jenna committed some social wrongs, but the good that Jenna has done throughout the years far outweighs that. Shane's done some reprehensible shit.
You see Shane, it's kind of like the Jimmy Savile thing. Like, you see Shane giving cars away or donating large amounts of money to wherever, but like his overall actions, like, do we ever see diversity on camera? No. Do we ever see him repenting or apologizing? Repenting is just such a dramatic word. Apologizing for his actions in
doing 12 Hail Marys.
Sorry.
Did you just hear that?
I just visualized Shane doing 12 Hail Marys. Oh my god. Yeah, no. What was I saying? Basically, like,
There's just too much wrong, man. There's too much shit that he's
yeah,
done.
there's too much wrong. There's just too much wrong and not enough trying to genuinely fix it. Like, we just, oh, we don't see him giving an apology without blaming it on his mental illness or his childhood trauma or things like that. And I mean, like, even going into the whole J. Cole thing, like, I think it's really difficult for a lot of people of color and a lot of people in the queer community, like, not overarchingly, but you know, like, you just put personal connections on things because of your trauma. You know what I mean? Like, you can put a personal connection on J. Cole, or you can put a personal connection on, you know, somebody like Pharrell, that's like, I don't know, if you're into music, who's probably been really integral in your music listening experience or whatever. Like, you can see a person of color and think, you know, and you can be completely aware of white supremacy and like systemic racism and like all of these things within, you know, the government, the entertainment community, like wherever, and say, oh, like, I just admire them so much because they kind of look like me and, you know, whatever. But just realize that, first of all, they're human, and second of all, like, some of them are just absolute pieces of
Shit.
garbage, bro. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, you know what I mean? And I can completely understand, you know. I mean, even me with Beyonce, like, I wasn't necessarily resistant to the
Sorry, are you
idea of
gonna
just like
talk
she's
negatively
a
about Beyonce? I'm leaving this podcast. I quit.
like I'm not averse to the criticism that she's a black capitalist, you know what I mean? But
But the thing is
you take that in stride.
yeah, because the overall is positive. The net
Well, that
is positive.
it's that, and as well, like, you know, I'm not saying cancel these people. Like, I don't think we're saying necessarily cancel all male black rappers, or, you know, cancel. I'm not saying that. Like, go ahead, listen to their music. Like, do what you want to do. You know what I mean? But to just like sit up and like blatantly defend somebody, like, do that. Like, I tweeted, like, do that shit in private, bro. It is embarrassing. Like, that's just like embarrassing. Like, listen to Lil Wayne, listen to fucking Nicki Minaj, listen to whoever. Like, I don't know. Listen to whoever you want all day. Just don't go online and then invalidate somebody else's experiences in your own community because you love this person so much that you've never met. Like, that's just, again, that's just fucking weird. And I think
It's
that kind of
fucking
brings us
weird.
on to like, so what do we do if J. Cole isn't our community leader? So what do we do if Harvey Weinstein was a big part of why somebody got into movie production in the first place? What do we do if we saw all of Jimmy Savile's good work and we want to be like this person? Well, you should still want to do those things, but maybe just find different leaders, I guess. Like,
Well, my sort of
you
thing
know what I mean? Like,
is it depends on it, because I was having this debate with someone today in work actually, because I've got a Harry Potter tattoo, which I'm someone who cannot separate art from artist, so I need to get this tattoo covered up or I need to get it removed or whatever. And I know some people can remove art from artists, which is if you can do that and you can enjoy the art of someone, knowing full well what they've done, and you can do that. I say personally for me, go ahead. To me, like I say, there is a limit. Like there's a limit to this shit. Depends on how. Like I'm not gonna listen to fucking. I'm not gonna like buy Hitler's paintings because I'm like, but it's a really nice painting. Do you know what I mean? Like not to bring Hitler up again. But he was an artist and a vegetarian. Fucking shut up. I hate people who mention that all the fucking time. I'm like, shut, just fuck, stop. Anyway, but the point I'm trying to make is if you can separate art from artist and you that's okay with you, go ahead. But do not hold other people to the same standard because some people can. And if you're, like you're saying, if someone got into movie making because they love the work of Harvey Weinstein and they love the films that he's produced, and that's what's really spurred them on. Hopefully those people are at a point now where they can spur themselves on by the fact that they themselves are creating. Be spurred on by your own creativity. Be spurred on by your own want to do something. And yes, someone can give you a spark or an inspiration, but truly do something because it is making you happy and it is bringing you joy and it is something that you were inspired to do one time, they give you a spark and you have the energy and you're fired up. If you're not fired up, don't bother. You're only wasting your time.
100%. Yeah, I mean, what was that tweet that I sent you today? What did it say?
I don't know. We send each other like 30 tweets a day.
We send too many tweets.
Yeah. Our conversation is essentially, like, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Have you seen this?
It was, your own group of friends are probably much cooler than all of the famous people you admire. And it's like, yeah, yes. Totally. Like, I think we're seeing a lot of this now where it's like, support local art, support small businesses, support Black-owned businesses, support minority-owned businesses, queer businesses, Indigenous businesses, like all of these other things. Like, support smaller things because they don't, first of all, have the reach that these, like, large celebrities that, according to J. Cole, like, don't know anything and don't know what to do with their platforms and have probably never even tried. Like, there are, even if you aren't ready to take that step and fully invest in yourself, even if you feel like you need a bit more guidance, there's always leaders from the past. There's always people like James Baldwin. There's always people like Kimberly Williams Crenshaw. There's always people like, there's just a lot of people that you can look up to. And there are new leaders now that are, you know, not part-time activists, part-time celebrities that you can look at.
You can look at me and Ari.
I was reading, don't look at us. Please never look at us. That's the number one rule.
Not in the eyes.
Don't look at us. Don't fucking look at us.
Don't tweet us. Don't talk to us.
Don't. Like, please. I'm begging you.
Sorry.
There's this book called Eloquent Rage by Brittany Cooper. That I was reading, and it's about, you know, Black women and their anger, and she's making all these pop culture references. It's just really good. And then there's another one that, you know, maybe I'll put the description in the comments this week, but there's just so many other things. There's like contemporary leaders and leaders from the past that you can turn to. There are people that were around before or just at the turn of celebrity culture. I mean, there's just so much that you can look into. I mean, but be wary of those people as well, because I've seen a lot of people going around saying Alice Walker and bell hooks are the best people to read for feminist theory. And it's just like,
you're falling into the same traps. It's the same traps over and over again.
Well, Alice Walker is anti-Semitic, and her daughter is, like, she married a Jewish man. Her daughter is Jewish. Rebecca Walker is Jewish. So,
Jesus Christ.
And then there's bell hooks who, like, you know, like, I'm not really sure what her deal is. She really seems to believe in the whole respectability politics thing because, like, her whole thing is Beyonce is a terrorist and too sexy to be a feminist and, like, uses her body and the commodification of her body way too much. And it's just, like, I don't see, like, a lot of it just, like, does not hold water. So, I mean, like, just do your research on people, I think, either way, you know?
Do your research. And don't get too connected.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think maybe worship yourself and, you know, you can follow some of the guidance of others.
No, I think that's a fantastic place to conclude on, like, don't put people, like, don't put other people up on a pedestal that you yourself wouldn't put yourself, like, wow, that was not a sentence. Don't put others on the pedestal that you wouldn't put yourself on. Do you expect yourself to be perfect in all situations and know exactly what to say and have the right words and have the right vocabulary to be able to talk about difficult, nuanced topics, such as, like, the intersections of race, sexuality, all those things that we discuss? Do you expect yourself to be able to talk about that 100% of the time, 100% perfectly without offending anyone or without whatever? Then don't put anyone else on that pedestal. But at the same time, put them on pedestals that you would put yourself on. Do you put yourself on the pedestal to not be racist? Then your faves should also not be racist. Do you put yourself on the pedestal of not being a pedophile? Then don't let your faves be pedophiles. And I think that's a fairly okay system.
Like, yeah. There's just so many other places that you can turn to for resources and so much nuance that you can just go through with yourself. So just be conscious, you know what I mean? Be conscious, dude.
Be conscious. Welcome to 2020.
Welcome to 2020, man.
Wake up. This is
And this has been... Oh, my God. I was about to say, and this has been Totally Kyle, but you completely just like bombarded that with, I don't know, some Twilight Zone shit. So
I'm hoping someone listens to that and they're like, oh my god. Anyway, I think that's it for this week. We've got to whispering that it's dreams. I feel like we've said some stuff. We got some points out there.
Yeah, this could be your sweet dream or your beautiful nightmare.
That song slaps, by the way. That music video, that like metal bodice leotard unitard thing, exquisite.
So good.
There, anyway, that's been I Saw a Magpie. Before we go off down the Beyoncé rabbit hole, we'll do that in our private time. Have you seen a magpie this week?
You know what? I have, and I wish that I'll figure out what the fuck I'm doing, because I honestly, at this point, don't know. All I know is I've never stan J. Cole, and I don't plan to anytime soon.
That's valid, and I support you in that. I've seen a magpie, and I truly, truly, truly wish that if I did want to get fucked in the ass, that that would be between me and whoever's dick it was, and no one else ever would talk about it. In whatever context. Just leave me to get my pussy broke open. Like, it's fine.
Okay. And on that note, we'll see you next week.
Right. See you later, guys.
Bye. Bye.
And that has been I Saw a Magpie. Thank you for joining us this week.
Please rate and review the podcast wherever you are listening.
And I Saw a Magpie can be found on Twitter at @saw_magpie and on Facebook at I Saw a Magpie.
And Ari is on Twitter at @AriTheCupcake.
And Steven is at @S_J_Devlin. Give us a like and a follow, and we shall see you next week.
Cheers again.
Bye!